Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. It's day 523 of our three-year journey through the Word of God. We come to 1 Chronicles chapter 3. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your faithfulness to your people and to your promises. You never abandon your people. You never break your promises. Things aren't always fulfilled the way we expect, but you always do much more abundantly above and beyond our expectations when you do that. We thank you, Father, for your goodness and faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, 1 Chronicles chapter 3. These are the sons of David who were born to him in Hebron. The firstborn Amnon by Ahinoam the Jezreelite. The second, Daniel by Abigail the Carmelite. The third, Absalom, whose mother was Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur. The fourth, Adonijah, whose mother was Haggith. The fifth, Shephatiah, by Abital. The sixth, Ephraim, by his wife Eglah. Six were born to him in Hebron, where he reigned for 7 years and 6 months. And he reigned 33 years in Jerusalem. These were born to him in Jerusalem, Shimeah, Shobab, Nathan, and Solomon, four by Bathshua, the daughter of Amiel. Then Ibhar, Elishama, Eliphelet, Noga, Nepheg, Japhia, Elishama, Eliada, and Eliphelet, nine. All these were David's sons, besides the sons of the concubines, and Tamar was their sister. The son of Solomon was Rehoboam, Abijah his son, Asa his son, Jehoshaphat his son, Joram his son, Ahaziah his son, Joash his son, Amaziah his son, Azariah his son, Jotham his son, Ahaz his son, Hezekiah his son, Manasseh his son, Amon his son, Josiah his son. The sons of Josiah, Johanan the firstborn, the second Jehoiakim, the third Zedekiah, and the fourth Shallum. The descendants of Jehoiakim, Jeconiah his son, Zedekiah his son, and the sons of Jeconiah, the captive, Shealtiel his son, Malchriam, Pediah, Shenazar, Jechemiah, Hoshema, and Nedabiah, and the sons of Pediah, Zerubbabel, and Shimei, and the sons of Zerubbabel, Meshullam, and Hananiah, and Shelemith was their sister, and Hashubah, Ohel, Berechiah, Hasadiah, and Jushab Hesed, five. The sons of Hananiah, Pelatiah, and Jeshaiah, his son Rephaiah, his son Arnon, his son Obadiah, his son Shechaniah, the son of Shechaniah, Shemaiah, and the son of Shemaiah, Hattush, Egal, Bariah, Neriah, and Shaphat, six. The sons of Neriah, Elioni, Hizkiah, and Azrakam, three. The sons of Elioni, Hodaviah, Eliashib, Peleah, Akub, Johanan, Deleah, and Anani, seven. That is 1 Chronicles chapter 3. Now the ESV heading of this chapter is Descendants of David. And we can actually see that that's exactly what we have in front of us. These are the sons of David. As the first words of this chapter, that's really what the focus of this chapter is on. What we're doing, in fact, is picking up from the middle of chapter 2. So in chapter 2, starting in verse 10, we had the descendants of Ram. Ram fathered Amminadab, Amminadab fathered Nashon, prince of the sons of Judah, Nashon fathered Salmon, Salmon fathered Boaz, Boaz fathered Obed, Obed fathered Jesse, Jesse fathered Eliab his firstborn, Abinadab his second, Shimeah the third, Nathanael the fourth, Radai the fifth, Ozem the sixth, David the seventh, and their sisters were. So we have David mentioned there in 2:15, and of course anybody reading the Chronicler knows exactly who David is. In fact, David is going to be the primary focus of this whole book of 1 Chronicles. But we just ended with him in 2:15. Well, now we circle back and pick up where 2:15 left off, and we get the descendants of David. And they're broken into three sections. And these three sections are the sons of David, all of his sons, right? But then you have the kings from David to the exile. That goes from verse 10 down to... sorry, lost my spot. Down to verse 17, where we have the sons of Jeconiah the captive, Shealtiel his son. So that's the captivity there in verse 17. So 10 to 17 is from Solomon to the exile. And then following the exile, you have 18 to 24. This sort of threefold division going from the sons of David to then the sons of the kings from David to the exile and then from the exile to the present. It's a little bit, not perfectly, but it's a little bit anticipatory of the genealogy that we find in Matthew chapter 1. If we look very quickly at this genealogy in Matthew chapter 1, we'll see it also breaks down into three sections. Now the section is a little bit different because the first section is from Abraham to David, but then it's from David to the exile and then from the exile to Jesus. And so you have that same breakdown, the kings before the exile and then the kings after the return or after the exile to Babylon and then the subsequent return. So both have a threefold structure to them, but this one in 1 Chronicles chapter 3 focuses on all of David's sons in the first part, whereas in Matthew he's really concerned to trace Jesus as the son of David and the son of Abraham. But you still have that distinction between the kings leading up to the exile and the kings coming back from the exile. We'll talk about that in a minute as to why that is. But here we have these sons of David. He's got a number of sons who were born to him. Six were born to him in Hebron, and then you had nine who were born to him in Jerusalem. So he's got 15 sons. Tamar was their sister. She's named. That is not to say that there were not other daughters of David. The chronicler here is not telling us any of the family drama, any of the problems that were there in David's household. He's just giving us the genealogies here. But the mention of Tamar was their sister, that should definitely prompt any knowledgeable reader to say, yeah, we know David's family was full of sin and conflict and heartache. Now, one person you might not recognize because her name's a little bit different here is Bathsheba, the daughter of Amiel. Bathsheba, the daughter of Amiel, is the same as Bathsheba, just a slightly different spelling. These are the children that were born to David by Bathsheba, and there are actually four, and Solomon, the fourth of those, in addition to, I think, the one who died. So we have these 15 sons of David and all these different wives, and we know that it was a household that was marked by conflict, right? You had Amnon, who raped his sister Tamar, and then you had Absalom, who killed Amnon and then who led a revolt against David. You have Bathsheba, who was taken advantage of, seduced by the king, and stolen away from her rightful husband, Uriah the Hittite. So there's a lot of sin. One of the observations we've made is that any genealogy we find in the Bible is a record of the fact that God's faithfulness to keep his covenant promises persists despite the presence of great sin, that human sin does not thwart the gracious promises and purposes of God. And we can be thankful for that because there's plenty of sin in our lives. And so it's good news that when God made this covenant promise to David, one of your descendants will sit on the throne forever, that even though his household was a hot mess, I mean, it would make any sort of reality TV show family like the Kardashians look normal almost by comparison. This is just a dysfunctional family with a capital D-Y-S. And, you know, this is not really neat or PG, right? It's sin and it's devastating consequences of rape and murder and incest and adultery, and it's horrible. We shouldn't make light of those things. They are horrible, and they have real disastrous consequences. But God's faithfulness to his people and his promises and his purposes, that faithfulness is greater than our sin. Amen? Where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, the end of Romans 5 tells us. And that's what we see here in David's story. And we also see it in the line of the kings. I think it's neat coming into this after we've been through 1st and 2nd Kings, because these kings from verse 10 to 17 are familiar to us, right? We've just been in their stories over these last several months, and we know that some of them were pretty good. Just a reminder, Azariah here is Uzziah. It's a different variant on Uzziah. It's the variant that's used in Kings. Both are used there. So Uzziah was a pretty good king, and Hezekiah was certainly a pretty good king. Josiah was a great king. It's interesting, the genealogy kind of takes a break and has to sort of restart with him, the sons of Josiah. And that's because he has three different sons, and they're not going to, you know, a couple of them are going to serve on the throne, but not in birth order, and it's the time when they start to go into captivity. But it is interesting, Josiah then gets kind of a prominent place where it's Josiah, his son, and then the sons of Josiah. You get that also with the descendants of Jehoiakim. Zerubbabel is mentioned here. He is the governor of Judea post-exile, who, along with Ezra and Nehemiah, helps to rebuild the temple, helps to reestablish the right worship of God in Jerusalem. So he's an important guy. And he gets really significant real estate in the Bible. He's one of the most overlooked Old Testament characters in the book of Haggai, and as well as in the book of Ezra. He was a great guy, and many people thought he would be the restoration of the Davidic dynasty. But the thing is, none of these guys, after the exile, after the captive Jeconiah, none of them would serve on the throne. And yet, the line of David was preserved. We know it was preserved all the way down to Jesus. And Jesus was the one who sits on the throne forever. So after Jesus, we don't have a need to preserve the line of David anymore. Jesus didn't have any natural descendants, but he has numerous spiritual descendants who inherit the kingdom, the throne of which he sits on forever and ever. So we just see the wonderful faithfulness of God's promises to his people and the preservation of this line. Sin, conflict, civil war, you know, insurrection, treachery, idolatry, exile, none of that. Reminds me of the end of Romans 8. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Lord remains faithful through it all. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this wonderful chapter and for the truth that it teaches us. Continue to lead us in your faithfulness and help us to depend on you. Forgive us for our sins. We don't want to make light of our sin. It is serious and it has real consequences. But we are oh so thankful beyond what our words can say. We're so thankful for the fact that our sin cannot separate us from you, because you have separated our sin from us as far as the east is from the west, as we're going to hear about in this Sunday's sermon. Thank you for such grace, and thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the fulfillment of all of your promises and purposes, and who is the eternal King, who sits on David's throne forever. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tomorrow we'll be on to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Hope you can join me for that. Have a very blessed day in the Lord.